All right. Good morning. Anybody wearing a mask? Good morning. Good morning. Let me remind you just a couple things. Parents, relax and chill. I remember being a parent and being so paranoid that people would judge me for how my children were acting. And I had two of the most perfect children in the world when I was in church, and people still judged me and hated me. So what I want to let you guys know is relax on with your kids. This is family, okay? And so part of family is we understand that there are noises that are made. We understand that there are things that people walk around. They point and say, wow, your nose hairs are long. That's just part of dealing with the process, okay? So I want to encourage you guys, everybody, not a super deep breath, but just take a breath for a second and breathe out and just think, relax. Just relax, okay? I love having kids around. I love being around your children. I love being around you. And if the opportunity comes between me being able to be with you and not be with you, and there's a little bit of noise when I'm with you, I will choose being with you each and every time. And so I want to let you guys know that's super special to me. Whether you're online, whether you're here in the basement, if you're brave and you're outside in the backyard, you're crazy, but I hope those heaters are working well for you in that process. So I'm glad you guys are here this morning. Let me just deal with a couple prayer things. You know, I don't know what the future holds. There are people who always try to procrastinate or whatever. What is procrastination? Whatever the word is when you come up with the future. Prognosticate, that's the word, and predict. Whatever those words are. So I recognize in the great words of Game of Thrones, winter is coming. I'm so aware of it. But here's the thing I want to say. First of all, God has provided us a place to meet. Amen? Amen. And he's provided us with loving people to be around. Amen? Amen. And everybody is being gracious with each other in this process. So I'm thankful for that. I want to let you guys know we are working on the school. In fact, the school is working harder to get us back in than we are working to get into the school. They are giving me updates. I'm not even asking. So that just tells you how amazing our school is. Also, many of you guys also know there's an option. There's a possibility. It's a long shot that we as a church may be given a building. And so that is amazing in and of itself. What does that mean? That means change. That means things are different. That means I already got used to driving on Monticello and finding a parking space, and now you're changing on me again. Yes. But all of that, let's just all admit, isn't there change in all of our lives? Let's just take a moment and pray and ask God, who's the God that doesn't change, to help us find a solid foundation in all the things that are going on. Whether we're getting radiation this week, whether we're returning to a job, whether we've got a test that we've got to do, whether we're the professor and we're giving the test, whether we're a pastor just praying God show up. I don't know what your circumstance is. Let's pray together, amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask you to be you. We ask you to stick with your character. We ask you to continue to be patient, to continue to have long suffering, to continue to call back people who are repenting and love them, and God, for you to continue to give grace. Lord, in our lives, with our health, we need your grace. We need your love. We need your tenderness, and we need your comfort. Inside of our families, with relationships, God, COVID has done a number on relationships in America, not just in our church, not just in our nation, but across the globe. Lord, help us with our relationships, and may we have a good relationship with you first, and from there we can go out and have even deeper relationships. Lord, help us in our workplaces, help us in our homes, help us in our neighborhoods. God, Lord, please help us. And God, you love to help. May we have the heart of being okay with the help you give us. May we not be that arrogant, stubborn child who's upset with the gift that you've given. But may we be thankful. And so God, would you please put that thankfulness in our heart, that gratitude in our heart. May that come from your Holy Spirit so that we can glorify you. It's in your name, God, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, let's jump into the sermon. If there's a time that you want to just really make a relationship awkward, talk about politics, talk about money, talk about intimacy. Those are three things that'll get you in trouble and you really want to avoid. But at Real Church, we talk about those things. And so I know a lot of people sometimes are like, okay, yay, we're talking about money. I really don't want to talk about money because there's a couple things. Most people feel I don't have enough money. Most people feel, I don't want to be judged on how I spend my money. Most people don't like looking at how their money was spent. Last week, Pastor Dom gave you guys an application. Spy on your money. See what your money's doing. And I was cracking up when Dom said that. I don't know if you guys are like me, but I remember not wanting to spy on my money. I remember not wanting to look at my bank account. And I remember not wanting to look at my credit card statement. Anybody not want to look at their credit card statement? Like, I did not want to look at my credit card statement because it kept growing bigger and bigger. And so what I want to do today is I want to come in with you guys and I want to come in humbly and say this. Look, I'm not the end-all be-all expert of what it is to talk about finances, but I've made a lot of mistakes. And I've learned from those mistakes, and I've changed my ways, and I do things differently now. So when I come and I talk to you guys this morning, I want you guys to understand I'm coming from a place of, yeah, I made some mistakes, and I don't want to make them again. And so when I share with you these things, I just want you to sit back and be like, oh, okay, here we go. Now, when Danielle and I first got married, and yes, I have permission to talk about this, I talked to her this week, she didn't grow up in a family that talked about money. She didn't grow up in a family that talked about money. She grew up in a family that didn't talk about money. And I love her family. Her family is amazing, but her family grew up paycheck to paycheck, which meant the paycheck came in and the paycheck completely went out. I don't know what family you grew up in. I don't know what family you live in right now, but paycheck to paycheck is not a wise situation to be in. It creates a lot of anxiety, it creates a lot of tension, and it creates a lot of pain. Now, Pastor, stop lecturing me. No, that's not what I'm doing. What I want to do is I want to share with you, here are the realities of the situation, and here's a vision for how things can be done different. Now, Danielle and I had to go to massive amounts of counseling because we argued this out. Danielle had a mindset that if there was money inside of the bank account, we could spend it. I had the mindset of, I grew up not super poor, but we were barely above the poverty line. Lower class, middle class poor is where we were at. And we went through, when the generics came out in the 1980s and those yellow bags in the grocery stores that said chips, we had them if we were lucky. That's where we were at in our family. And so with my wife just had this feeling of, hey, if there's money in the bank, let's spend it. But what I tried to share with my wife is no, what if the car breaks? What if we need to get kids to go to the dentist? What if we need to do this? What if we need to do that? What if we need to do that? And it just became an argument between she and I. And what I want to share with you guys is wherever you're at on money, usually your spouse is opposite of you. So if you're somebody who likes to save, your spouse loves to spend. And if you're somebody who loves to spend, your spouse wants to save. But what God does is he puts us together so that we can work together and one doesn't dominate the other, which makes it hard. See, my wife wants to give gifts. My wife wants to love on other people. And my wife wants to love on people with all the money we have, which means we have no money. Now, on the other side of it, she's trained me. I didn't want to love on anybody because I wanted to make sure we had money. So that's not okay either. So you've got to talk through and you've got to work through, but you know what that creates? Tension. You know what else it creates? Conversation. You know what else it creates? Vulnerability. You actually have to get honest and real why you think money should be spent the way it's spent, and you actually have to talk about it, which means you have to reveal your soul, which means you have to reveal your intent and your intentions, which makes you vulnerable so you don't want to do it. And it's just much easier to argue about money rather than to actually grow in the process. My hope, though, today is that you guys will grow in these 4 weeks in this conversation about money. Not that the end of 4 weeks you'll be like, nailed it, got it. No. Keep the process going. Keep growing in it. I like last week that Pastor Dom said, part of having good financial balance is practicing saving, spending, and giving. Now, we're going to talk today about saving. Next week, there's going to be spending and giving. We're going to keep going through this process. But to have good financial balance, you need to have saving, spending, and giving. So let's talk about saving. When I was in college, I remember sitting in college as a 19-year-old or 18-year-old probably, sitting in a college class, and the business professor got up and said this to me. He said, if you will put $1 away right now, every single day the rest of your life, when you retire, you will have $1 million. He said, if you put $30 away a month, if you put $365 away a year for the rest of your life, $365 the rest of your life, when you retire at age 65, you will have $1 million. And I thought to him, that's stupid. You know what I can do with $30? I can go to In-N-Out and get two meals. You know what's dumb? With $30, I can get one pizza from Round Table Pizza. Do you know what's dumb? With, for $30, that's like seven dates, Lord. I can go on seven dates to the Dollar Theater. Like, God, why would I invest my money when I can have fun now? Ooh, right? Why would I invest my money when I can have fun now? But let me tell you something. Years and years ago, when I first started out in my first job, that wasn't a public sector job that didn't have a pension set aside, but I worked for a church. I put away $300 a month for 5 years. $300 a month for 5 years, I put it away. That's $18,000 I put away. I was talking to my wife this week when I was looking at how much that $18,000 is worth. Currently, it's worth $160,000. Let me repeat that. I put in $18,000 15 years ago, and that $18,000 has turned into $160,000. Now, some of you guys are like, Pastor, that's not accurate. Well, look at your credit card statement. You have put on your credit cards, and your credit cards have gone and grown and grown and grown exponentially as well. So you can do something in a positive way, and it can grow exponentially, or you can do something in a negative way, and it can grow exponentially. You have a choice. My encouragement for you and I is let's choose the positive one. Amen. I remember getting the telephone call here at my house, and they said, do you need help? And I was like, what? Do you need help? It's like, what do you mean? Well, you haven't paid your mortgage in 3 months, and so we want to know if you need financial help. Well, I had set up this house right here on automatic bill pay through Bank of America. Set it, leave it alone, never looked back at it again. And you guys know how many pieces of mail you get from soliciting for everything. So whenever I got something from Union Bank, I didn't care. Like, I don't want to sign up for another equity line. I don't want this. I don't want that. So for one piece of good mail from Union Bank, I would get 60 pieces of mail of wasted time. So not until they sent me the legal size envelope did I open it up and read that I was 3 months behind on our payments on this house. So I was embarrassed. I was totally embarrassed, mortified. Called Union Bank. I said, I am so sorry. I have no idea what happened. Clearly, my automatic bill payment has stopped. I need to give you the money. Looked in our bank account. All the money's still sitting there. So gave it to him right over with the wire transfer to the bank account, the routing. I said, please put on my notes on my account. I am so sorry. Oops, what happened? Now, later on, if we go to buy another house, someone's going to come back and go, why were you 3 months late on your payments? And I was like, my automatic bill payment decided to shut off on its own. How that happened, some zeros and ones somewhere decided that they didn't want to hug anymore. And it just, and I have no idea. But that happens, right? But the beauty is when there was a mistake, there was something. And sometimes when there's a need, there's something. Point number one, if you're following along, I'd like you to write down in your notes. Point number one. Learn to save from the wise. Learn to save from the wise. Don't learn to save from the fools. Find somebody who has learned how to financially make good decisions and ask them their processes. Find somebody who will mentor you. But here's the problem. People come to me and they say, Pastor, can you help me with my finances? And I go, yeah, sure. What do you have? And they're like, I don't know. Can't help you. I can't make guesses on information without knowing actual answers. But one of the things that a lot of times people do is they don't go to wise people to find out wise answers. They stay where they're at and they keep the foolish ways and they don't change. Here at Real Church, let's change our ways. Amen? Proverbs 13:20 says this, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. You want to grow in the Lord? Walk with somebody who's growing with the Lord. You want to learn how to be a better husband? Hang out with a good husband. You want to be a better wife? Hang out with a good wife. You want to be a better mother or a father? Hang out with somebody who's better at it. That's one of the things I've always learned in my life, is find somebody who's better than you. If you're the best person in the room, that's not good for you. I've always wanted to be the worst pastor in the room, because graciously, that means the other pastors around me are amazing, and I'm going to learn from them, and I'm going to steal everything they give me, and then I'm going to ask for more. Go to wise people and learn from them. In Genesis 41, 28 through 36, there's a story, and the story is the story of Joseph, and this is something that I want you guys to hear. Joseph thinks his life is going to be important when he's 18, and it does not go well for 40 years. The story of Joseph doesn't go well at all. Have fun looking at it. Has really problems with his brothers. They pretend that he's murdered. They sell him away into bondage. He goes into a home. Apparently, he's good looking. The housewife wants him. He says no, makes a good choice, still is accused, gets thrown into jail. He's in jail, which is really, at that point in time, jails were really nice. 4,000, you know, they were just amazing jails. No, they're terrible. They're pits. They're gross. And he gets stuck there, and he gets forgotten. And he's complaining to God, and he tries everything, even with the humans. One guy's going to get released. He says, hey, remember me. When you get out, remember me. But then later on, there comes a situation where the Pharaoh of Egypt has a dream, and he has this dream several times, and this dream absolutely confuses him, and he can't figure it out. And he brings in all the wise people to try to figure it out. And the wise people go, there's one who can figure this one out. His name is Joseph. Go get him. By the way, this story happened before with Daniel. Daniel, there's a wise person who can figure this out. Bring in Daniel. We have Joseph who's brought in, and we pick it up in verse 28 as Pharaoh has told Joseph the story. And Joseph says, it is as I told Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he should do about, or what he's about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, but after them there will arise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land, and plenty will be unknown in the land by reason of famine that will follow, for it will be very severe. And doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning wise man. Highlight that, discerning wise man. When you got a problem, go to the wise. Select a discerning wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land and take 1/5 of the produce, 20%, of the land of Egypt during the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. That food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine. In my life already, I've seen 3 economic downturns. In 1996, I saw a massive economic downturn. In 2006, I saw an economic downturn. In 2013, I saw an economic downturn. And then we had pandemic economic downturn in 2018. So I don't necessarily know what 2018, 2019 is going to be. But what I want to share with you is there are years of plenty, and then there are just some tough times. Can I get an amen that when one appliance breaks in your home, all the other appliances go, well, I want to go too. I mean, come on. Let me hear an amen, somebody. Amen. Thank you. Your fridge goes, I'm not working anymore. The washer and dryer goes, well, if the fridge isn't going to work, we're out too. Then your water softener, your water heater, and then for some dumb reason, your car hears what they're talking about. Right? What I want you guys to understand is that there are going to be years of plenty when nothing breaks and it goes great. And then there are going to be years of, whoa, what happened? And what I want you to understand is your maturity needs to be good in the good, and your maturity needs to be good in the famine. You got to be good in both. Here in Chicago, there are beautiful days where it is sunny, gorgeous, 75, no humidity. Amen? And then there are all the other 364 days. So what I want you guys to get is enjoy the good day, but plan for the days of struggle. That's what saving's about. But there's something that's interesting. We have the scarcity mentality and we have the abundance mentality. I was talking to Nick Love years ago, and he was teaching me about the scarcity mentality. And what the scarcity mentality is that once we get our paycheck, we just spend it because we don't know if we're going to be able to live till tomorrow. So let's just enjoy. Let's eat. Let's drink. Let's be merry. Let's just do this. And that's not good. That's not healthy. That's not safe. We need to move to an abundance mentality. We need to, first of all, feel that, man, God has given me enough. Because even when we learn about save 20%, that means that they were going to eat good for 7 years, and then they were going to eat less for 7 years. They weren't going to maintain their same eating style during those 7 years. They had to adjust, which makes it uncomfortable. And what we've got to do is we've got to understand that God has blessed me today with enough. I may not like it. I may not enjoy what he's blessed me with. I may be a stubborn child who feels like I deserve more, but God has blessed me with what I need. And my brain has to change to gratitude and thankfulness, not spitefulness. Point number two, learn to save from the wise. Point number two, learn to save to store up. Why do we store up? We store up so we can be resilient when life changes. Doesn't life change? Doesn't life change? Life can change with a phone call. Life can change with CNN reports. Life can change in a moment. And we, when we save, we have the ability to respond. Proverbs 13:11 says this, "Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it." Proverbs 13:11. So my expectation when you hear this money sermon isn't that you will decide, okay, I'm just going to save everything in the next 5 days. Nobody's eating, nobody's breathing, no electricity, no heat, we're saving. Yep, cut everybody off. And I've seen people do that. Let me help you out. If you decide, you know what, I want to lose a little bit of weight, don't do just cut everything off. That's not good. Your body will panic. Little by little, dwindle. Little by little with money, build it up, okay? Learn to save to store up. But here's the other thing. When we learn to save to store up, we're not afraid of the famine. Put this in your notes. I'm not afraid of the famine. God is the God of increase. God is the God of abundance. God is the God of harvest. And God is the God of famine. God is going to be in both. So we don't walk into it in fear. We walk into it in hope. We store up in hope. We don't store up in fear or greed. Ooh, I've been the greedy one because I'm the saver in the house. I want to store up. I want to have more. And you know what I first did was is I wanted to have 3 months of our monthly income. So my salary, 3 months of salary saved for each one of us. And then you get that. And then you're like, no, I need more. I need 12 months of my salary. And then you need 80 months. If you don't believe me, look at Jeff Bezos. If you don't believe me, look at the guy who owns Virgin Atlantic. I mean, these guys are so wealthy and so stupid. Their newest goal now is to become astronauts. Like these people, and they got to have even more money. So if they don't have enough money, will I ever have enough money? No. So I can't store up from greed and I can't store up from fear. I have to store up for hope. Hope is why I store up. We store up for interdependence, not for independence. Some people make the mistake of storing up because I don't need to need anybody. I don't want to rely on anybody. I don't want anybody to help me. Do you realize how that destroys your soul? It makes you arrogant. I'm going to be the one who always blesses people and I will never be blessed. Because I'm not needy like you. Ooh. Ooh, pride. We store up for interdependence. We put away 20% so that later on when there's a famine, we all make it. Nobody dies. There's not one person in the corner eating everything. No, we all make it. The next one, had my heart broken. I was listening to this one person and they were being interviewed. They were talking about wealth. By the way, usually in America, people only save about 7%. In the last 2 years, which is really interesting, savings has gone up to almost 20% in America. Why? A couple reasons. One, we all got extra money from the government. Most of us didn't need. The second one is we had nowhere to go spend the money because we were all bored at home watching Netflix. And so there was a saving of money. We didn't go out and waste money. We saved it. So let me encourage you guys, for those of you guys who saved it, when the constraints come off, don't run out and spend it all. Set some aside. But we store up an inheritance. We store up for hope. We store up for interdependence. And we store up an inheritance. I was watching an interview with this one person. They asked him, hey, are you going to leave any money for your kids? And their response was, no, my parents didn't leave it for me. Why would I help them out? And I was like, you're going to continue the poverty mentality and the process. So if you're in here, I want to encourage you to store up for the next generation. Now, let me explain to you what that means. That means that the church that we're looking at possibly picking up was built in Chicago almost 100 years ago. That there was a church family that was inside of it and they did their church thing and for whatever reason they no longer could meet in it, but they want an inheritance for the kingdom and they want to pass it on. They could have sold it to a developer for hundreds of thousands of dollars and had it torn down and had an apartment built. Anybody see that with the churches in your neighborhood? But that inheritance is now lost. And there's precious churches like Real Church who are like, can we have somewhere to meet? Now, God has graced us with the basement. Praise God for that. I'm thankful for it. Okay? But I still would like a place that has a children's room. I still would like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, God, we can do so much more. We can minister more. Lord, there's more we can do. But we do it to store up an inheritance. We set aside money so that your kids can be on your shoulders spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, all these things. Let them stand on your shoulders and be better than you. Don't be somebody who knocks your kids down and be like, no, I got to be over you. You're always under me. You can never do better than me. No. May your children and my children outgive, outlove, outgrow us. Amen? We give to the next generation. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Let me say that again. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. You may not have children. You may have spiritual children. You give your inheritance to the kingdom of God to make sure the kingdom of God keeps going. And we store up for eternity. We store up inheritance. We store up interdependence. We store up hope. And we store up for eternity. Matthew 6:19-21 says this, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Some of you guys, you're going without and you are sacrificing and you are serving the kingdom of God and your king is saying to you, well done, keep it up, keep going. And yes, you're going to have moments where you're going to feel like, king, Coldplay tickets, king, front row. And God's like, you wait for the concert I'm going to throw for you. You just wait. And in fact, you're going to be on stage singing to me. It's going to be pretty good. What I want you guys to understand is you've got to have future goals so that you can handle actually foregoing what you want. A lot of people don't save financially because they don't have goals. You get into an argument. One of the things that helped me out with Danielle is we set a goal. Here's the number. This is what we're saving for. And then what our goal was, when we get to this amount, I'm going to take you on vacation. And I know where we want to go on vacation. I know what we want to spend the money for, but we're going to sacrifice and we're going to squirrel away money every single month until we get to this number. And when we get to that number, we're going on vacation. Which meant when a neat opportunity came up for us to waste money, we got to have a conversation. Do you want to have this neat thing that you want right now? Or do you want to save money and go do this vacation you've always wanted to do? You've got to have goals. And so do you here on earth. Do you have goals for now or do you have goals for eternity? You got to have goals for eternity. That's my goal. My goal is to love my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and my neighbor as myself. And the only way I can do it is if I get in deep relationship with my King. And I know my King has said, everything that I go without on this earth, he's going to give back to me double in the next life. Okay, let's do it. Point number three, learn to save, to spend, and give. And I'm setting up the next 2 weeks. So we learn to save, to store up. We got to store up. But we got to learn to save and give. And part of that storing up is so that you can spend, so that you can give. Like, Pastor, where is that in Scripture? Where in the world is that? I'm glad you asked. Proverbs 31, verse 10 through 31. Talks about a precious and amazing woman. Proverbs 31. This woman is legit. This woman is amazing. This woman has the ability to buy and sell. This woman has the ability to craft. This woman is not who you are supposed to be in this room if you're a woman. It's talking about the entirety of women and what women can do, and it's talking about the entirety of a community and what a community can do. And it's using this woman as an example to say she can do all of these things. She can sell a piece of property. She can buy it. She can clothe her kids in purple. Does anybody know what clothing your kids in purple in antiquity means? It means you're rich. It means you're rich, rich. So here's this godly woman who has money. And is she just spending all the money she gets in? No. She gets money. She considers things. She ponders it. She decides what to do, how to do these things. She blesses the people who work with her and who are around her. She blesses her family. And she blesses her God. Did you know the way that you handle your money blesses your King? Now, I want to give a major blessing to our church. Our church is insanely generous. Our church is incredibly generous. And our God has been incredibly generous to us. Amen? And so one of the things we do, which we learn in Scripture, is Scripture teaches you can't outgive God. Now, I am not looking for a raise. I'm not asking you to give more money. That's not what I'm doing, okay? But what I am saying this is there is a biblical principle. When you are somebody who is giving and generous, the Lord is generous and gives to you. And when you become selfish and you become somebody who holds tight to you, the Lord goes, oh, okay, I'll hold back. And what I've learned in my life is that I've learned that when I hold on to things, God goes, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I'm like, mine. Okay. You guys remember the birds from Nemo? Mine, 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 mine. If you don't like Nemo, let's go to Lord of the Rings, my precious. When we get into that and we make it, God goes, who gave you that? I gave you that. I remember with my kiddos, I love being with my kids. My kids know it's called dad tax. Anybody know what dad tax is? You guys just went through Halloween. If you didn't do dad and mom tax, I don't know what you were doing. Dad tax. Going with my son. We're sitting there. Sometimes I order him food and we go out and we'd order all this food and the food would be across. And one of the things, I don't know if you guys know about me, is I'm the type of person who, like, if there's an option where you can get three things on your platter, that's what I want. Like, I want all three things. I want lasagna, steak, and salmon. I know it's weird, but I'm like, hey, there's options. Why would I pass them up? So sometimes when I'm sitting there with my son, I'd be like, hey, can I try that? And when he was real little, he'd be like, no, it's mine. And I'd be like, we can throw all that in the trash right now, and you have none. Right? And Danielle's all, be nice to your son. Be nice. Be nice. I'm calling the counselor. I'm like, no, it's going to cost us $150. What I want you guys to understand is when you're generous, and when I'm sitting with my son and I'm like, hey, what do you think about it? He's like, yeah, try it. When he's generous with what he has, do you know what that says to me? Man, that's awesome. When my daughter wants to share, man, that's awesome. We're praying for my wife. So I'm teasing, sweetheart. What I want you guys to understand is when we are generous and we share, we make our King smile. Does that make sense? And so what I want to say to you guys is good job. Keep it up. Good job. Don't stumble. Don't fall. Don't trip. Don't get distracted. Stay on task. Good job is what I want to communicate to you. Good job. The other thing that I want to share with you guys is that one of the beautiful things is sometimes you spend to save. Sometimes you spend to save. My precious wife and I, in our 20 years of being together, probably have had about $10,000 invested in our marriage. $10,000 in counseling invested in our marriage. There came a point in time where we didn't have the extra money to go to counseling. But we knew destroying our marriage, which was priceless, wasn't worth the cost. And so what we had to do was we had to move money around, and we paid cash for our counseling, and we had to use a credit card to do some other things. And what I want you to know is wisdom teaches that there are certain things you want to invest in that are so priceless and are so worth it. That when you come to this conversation, here comes the tension, here comes the tension. Pastor said save, we save everything. Da, 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 da. Sometimes you got to spend to save. Does that make sense what I'm trying to communicate? Some of the best investment I've ever made is in my marriage. The second best investment that I've made is in my kids. My wife deciding that she wasn't going to work, she was going to stay home. Now, I'm not lecturing people. You do what God told you to do in your family with what you're supposed to do. If God told you to go to work, go to work. If God told you to stay home, stay home. If God told you to have kids, have kids. Don't have kids, don't have kids. Welcome to life. But for us and our family, God said Danielle needed to stay home, and we lost a full income. It was the greatest choice we made. For other people, they went to work, and it was the greatest choice they made. Their kids are still alive. Amen? So what I want you guys to hear is, in each one of our lives, we've got to figure out what's going on with God. We got to grab wise people around us to help us make these decisions. We've got to know. Scripture says, know the state of your flocks. You've got to know what you really have. And that way, the person who's wise can help you out. But ultimately, it's this. I would like you guys to think about, just think about for a second, dedicating your finances to God. Dedicating your finances to God. We sang a song, make me an offering. Okay? We sang a song, whatever you want me to be, let's do this. Have you given God your finances? Have you given him your health, your wealth? Have you given him all of what you are and just said, God, here it is, do what you want with it? Have you made the mistake of grabbing it and saying mine? It's okay. It's really cool. It's really cool. As a Christian, once you realize you've made a mistake, you go, oops, you let go of it and you apologize. Sorry, God, my bad. That's what we do. We repent and we move forward. And so what I want to encourage you guys to do is to dedicate your finances to God. And here's our application, okay? How do you dedicate your finances to God? A very simple step is practice delayed gratification. Practice delayed gratification. 25 years ago, I was in a class and I was being trained on finances and money. And this teacher was talking about he and his wife, when they first got married, they didn't rush out and buy all brand new furniture. They went and got two bean bags and they got a crate for their dining table. And what they did was, is they bought a used car. And what they did was, and they started walking through this process, and I listened to this teacher, and one of the things that I did was I learned from this teacher, and Danielle and I did that. We made sacrifices and bought a home in California. We made sacrifices and put money into retirement, and it was skinny. People were going out to eat all the time. Remember, babe? They were going out to eat all the time. Hey, do you guys want to go? The answer was yes. But my wallet said no. We don't want to go. And so we said no. And I remember having a conversation with my pastor years ago. He was like, you know, all these people are going out after church and it's really sad that you're not going out. You know, you're one of the pastors. You need to be there. That's part of your responsibility. And I looked at my lead pastor and I said, that's fair. Pay me more and I'll be there. It's really simple. Give me $40 more a week and I'll do it. And if you're not willing to go all in on that, guess what? I'm not willing to go all in on that. What that means is there are tough conversations. That means that there are things where this Christmas comes up and you want to buy presents for people that don't even need what you're trying to give them. Don't feel the pressure. Amen? Let's take a deep breath and let's go, God, you're in charge. Walk me through this process. And I myself am doing the same thing. Whether we get a building or whether we get a school or whether we're in the basement, I'm being patient. By the way, that's what delayed gratification means. It's patience. Anybody love patience? This week I was praying, Lord, help, and I named you, give them more patience. No, 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 no. Okay? I'm like, Lord, help me be patient and walk through this process with your finances. If you're in a spot where you need to save more, if you're in debt, wherever you're at, listen, be patient. Be patient. Walk slowly out. Make good decisions. Don't be hasty. Amen? All right. Let's pray. And let's look forward to the other teachings that we get on spending and giving. I think those are going to be a whole lot more fun of conversations, right? All right. Thank you, Dom and Chelsea, for giving me the tough one. All right. Let's pray. Mighty God, you are good. You are amazing. God, because you have saved us ultimately in eternity, praise you, God. Jesus, you save. Jesus, you save. Lord, would you please bless us with wisdom on how to save? Lord, financially and eternally. Lord, there are people around us who have an eternity so far set away from you. Lord, would you please save them? Lord, would you please use us in that process? Lord, would you please use our wealth to glorify your kingdom, whatever that looks like? God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, I thank you that you today have given us our daily bread. You've given us what we need. And Lord, there's some things that we're looking at and we feel like we need more. May we have the courage to come to you and ask you with our hands open, asking, Lord, would you please meet this need? And God, you're faithful. You're good. Your timing to meet that need, or maybe it would be bad for us to have that. So keep it from us. Lord, would you bless us with trusting you? It's in your wonderful and precious name, God, we pray, giving you all the glory. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful Sunday. If you're here inside the basement, let's set up, clear up the chairs, hang out, talk, chat. We can turn on the heaters in the backyard if you guys want to go out and do that. I'm glad you guys are here. If you're online, may God bless you guys. Have an absolute wonderful Sunday, and we'll see you guys next week.